So this isn't just personal anecdotal evidence. This is literally MIT, Stanford, Harvard, major studies over the last 50 years have shown 10 minutes a day of quiet mindfulness meditation will transform the quality of your life.
Welcome to Wealth Embodied. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our innate abundance and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to embody the vibration of wealth while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our relationship with money so we can live our lives wealthy and aligned. Let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Wealth Embodied, where we activate and inspire you in your wealth consciousness, your creative genius, and your visionary impact. I'm your host, Alara Sage. And, you know, in the business world, we don't think of sales often in the context of law of attraction, mindfulness, even spirituality. And as you know, I love to break through these limiting beliefs and really create these spaces where we can bring and merge and bridge these wonderful ideas and ways of being and bring these new ways of being into business. And I'm really excited today. We have a wonderful guest, Aaron Hendens, who has extensive experience in real estate and entrepreneurship, has given him a unique perspective on how to navigate even the most unstable market conditions. He has 30 years, that's a lot, of experience in transformational education. He's helped over 10,000 people get unstuck and grow sustainably as entrepreneurs and leaders. And he's here to talk with us today about mindfulness, the law of attraction, and sales. Aaron, so blessed to have you. Thank you for being here with us today.
Alara, thanks for reaching out. I'm delighted. This is really my favorite thing to work with people on, so I love it. Thanks.
So we're going to weave in and out of some various topics and conversation today. So let's start with, how do you define the law of attraction, Aaron?
Well, I think it's like any other law, physical law of the universe. You know, you don't mess with gravity. You don't discuss, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll float today. You know, it's just the way it is. And you learn to navigate it responsibly as a young person. You know, you learn by not falling, right? You learn by falling a lot, and then you distinguish, oh, I cannot fall if I do this. You know, and then you do other things with balance, right? Like you ride a bike, you ski, you do other things with balance, but fundamentally you're still just navigating that one physical law of gravity. And the law of attraction is like that, that you are, you know, whether you're aware of it or not, you know, Einstein said it, we're all just vibration. And it's just in a matter of tuning your personal vibration to that which you want. So law of attraction is basically that you are going to attract that which you're vibrating.
Yes, beautiful.
The frequency you're vibrating.
And so how do you connect the law of attraction and sales?
Good. Well, so I've been in sales. First of all, we're all in sales. You know, Daniel Pink has a great book called, I think it's Everybody Sells something like that. And, you know, whether you're a parent, I'm a parent, you know, and I'm selling my kids bedtime. And now I'm selling, you know, now it's teens. I'm selling them coming home safely. But you know, we're always selling whatever we're out to accomplish. So sales itself has sort of a dirty connotation. You know, it's linked to, you know, the normal way to think about sales is used car salesman, and being salesy, which really means trying to get my agenda over there with you. And I think from a law of attraction perspective, sales really is way more authentic, way more natural, that you're attracting the people that resonate with your offering. And that way if you can manage your own frequency, if you manage your own vibration, then you're going to be attracting the people that are ready to accept and ready or looking for that which you're offering. And I think that's one way to defeat, the salesiness of things. Like, it's not my, I don't want you to get to, I'm not here to have you do what I want you to do. I'm here to for you to discover the wisdom and the efficacy of whatever it is I'm offering, because I'm only offering it because I think it would be a contribution to you, not because I need the sales.
Yeah,
and I think that's a big thing that salespeople often grapple with, you know, is that world. And that's really where mindfulness comes into the whole thing for me.
I love how you say everything that we're selling all the time. And when you think of it that way, it really, for one, brings it into a bigger perspective, because it's right. We are. I have children too, and you're constantly selling them concepts and ideas and ways of being. And it also helps to understand that we're just really trying to offer value.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really what trying to sell something from, you know, the conscious state is that you're trying to offer somebody value. And like you said, wisdom.
And I think that's, you know, people, like, I don't think there's anyone who grows up thinking, I can't wait to be a salesperson. You know, there's that. I'm a realtor. And I don't know anyone who was like, as a child, was like, yeah, I can't wait to sell houses. But, you know, there's that world in which, you know, what people have to, there's the tension, right, between consciousness and wealth is that. You know, what is it that I'm offering the universe? What is it that I have to offer that fulfills me as a human being? You know, how I got into this, Alar, how this really became real for me as something to explore and manage and master, was coming to grips with, there is no one on their deathbed that lies there and thinks, oh, I can't believe I didn't close that sale. No one ever thinks that at the end of their days. You know, but they do often have regrets thoughts about, did I make the difference I wanted to make? Was I the full expression of the contribution that I have? And so it's really critical that people first and foremost deal with and discover, who are they? What are they offering? What are they really offering in the world? What is it what's the contribution they really want to make? And if that's, you know, car salesman, let's just take it down to the lowest, although realtors are somewhere down there too, frankly, in terms of the way they're viewed by most folks, is, you know, am I here slinging cars, you know, or am I providing this person with the most reliable, safest, most fulfilling mode of them fulfilling on what they're out to fulfill on? You know, how do they get from A to B in a way that really fulfills their mission in life? And if I'm really doing that, then I can die fulfilled, because I know I made that difference for those people over time. Same thing with selling anything. You know, is this what I'm offering consistent with my calling, my reason for being? Is this, you know, Simon Sinek would call it your big why. Am I really out here fulfilling on what matters and what matters to me? Or am I, you know, slinging product?
And there's such a big difference. I call it what lights you up, right?
Yeah, right.
That feeling that you get when you're really lit, if you help somebody and, you know, you have that sensation in your body. Because, you know, if you take it like the car salesman, you could be a car salesman who's just slinging product, or you could be a car salesman who's really listening to people coming in. What are they really seeking? And they're really taking it into their heart. How can I get them what they want? You know, everything that they're saying, and be able to really, you know, match the car with the person. That can be an art in and of itself.
Totally.
Just like a house, right?
That's right. And really fulfilling. And
yes.
You know, and people resonate with that. Then you become someone who is a resource. You know, in the 10,000 people or whatever number it is that I've spoken with over the years, I have yet, and I ask people regularly, this isn't something that I'm guessing at. I actually ask the question, how many of you want your life to make a difference? And I have yet to meet a human being who answers that question in the negative. Nobody. doesn't want that. Every single human being wants their life to matter. And, and if that's the case, then the question is, okay, well, what are you doing to make sure that that happens? You know, what are you actively doing every day to make sure your life is a contribution? And that starts with your mindset. That starts with your orientation to it. So if we get into, how to do that, right? How do you do that? That's really for me where mindfulness comes in, most clearly for people. Cause otherwise we're just, you know, we're by design mindless, you know, Daniel Kahneman, Nobel Prize winner in psychology, in economics. He's a psychologist who won the Nobel Prize he's a psychologist who won the Nobel Prize in economics for inventing basically, behavioral economics, which at the heart of it is just noticing that we are mostly driven by heuristics, shortcuts, mindlessness, like how do we get from A to B in the quickest way possible versus really being present and alive in the moment and noticing, you know, when you, in the pre-show, or let's give people behind the scenes, you know, or what you said something I thought was just brilliant. And I don't think people spend enough time tuning themselves into this, but you said, here's a question that wants to be asked. That's tuned in. You know, you're tapping into whatever, you know, stream of consciousness is around us at all time. And you're noticing what questions want to be asked. And then you're giving those questions voice. And the more we do that, the more we're allowing that information to come into us and go out to people. And unless we slow down enough to be present, we're going to miss all those opportunities.
It's amazing how much more enriched your life becomes when you start to, I mean, first it's about being more present and giving space, right? Pausing, bringing your awareness to your body, bringing your awareness to the present moment. That's the spaciousness. What transpires through that, you know, there's this beautiful divine orchestration, this divine will that's always working to bring us together, to create that flow of abundance. Just like our conversation here today, you know, before we jumped on and recorded, there was just such a connection that was organically there, even though you and I have never met. We met a few minutes, literally a few minutes before we jumped on. That beautiful divine orchestration that's available. I want to go into a little bit deeper of your... Now,
just before you get asked that question, that's the law of attraction in action. That's what that looks like, is that you and I are connected because you opened up a space in your life to be connected to people like me, and you reached out and you put yourself on the platform where we met, intentionally to meet more people like that. You know, you took the actions to do that. So there's also that space. I don't know if we want to get into it here, or I know I interrupted a question, but that space of the law of attraction is often misdiagnosed, or there's a misconception about it, that I'm just going to sit and meditate and things are going to come to me, versus I'm going to need to act in a way that's consistent with what just came to me. And the acting on what just came to you, that action, that next action is what opens up the next action, is what opens up the next gift. And then that opens up an opportunity to act on that next gift, which opens up the next one. You can't see the end from here. You just can see the next. And until you act on the next thing, it's like, you know, there's this, certainly in Western culture, the hustle and grind culture that you and I live in, that's the source of a lot of this tension, is having it all figured out. The need to have it all figured out, and life resists being figured out. you know, and as parents, we know there is no possible way to figure it out. There's just, what's this child need in this moment? And then to provide the space for that, and then see what opens up from there. And that willingness to see what opens up from there, that willingness to go is really the magic, is really where the magic happens. You know, I have a tattoo of Harold and the Purple Crayon. You remember that book? Do you ever read that book to your kids? And he's just taking the crayon for a walk. That's just the best metaphor for life that I could ever find. It's just, I'm just taking the crayon for a walk. Let's see what wants to be drawn. Let's see what the next thing is. And knowing that we always have the crayon to draw whatever is needed next.
Yeah.
And trusting the universe is going to provide the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, that there's, that the universe is constantly conspiring to deliver us our greatest good.
I love how you said consistently showing up, consistently taking that action, because that's the difference, right? You have to consistently be in that space where you are listening and taking action, listening and taking action. And, you know, of course, fear and all of these things are going to come in. And that's that choice, right? Where we are believing that, as you so beautifully and metaphorically said, we always have the crayon to create whatever we need to create. I want to bring it into mindfulness, because this is very much a part of law of attraction. And I really love how you put these two together specifically. So let's first start with, how do you define mindfulness?
Mindfulness is basically being intentionally aware, on purpose, aware of the present moment. Meaning you're intentionally noticing what's happening in this moment, which, you know, starts with the easiest access to that is how do I feel right now? You know, I feel afraid. Okay. Well, what does that mean? Well, I feel there's a tension in my solar plexus and it feels this way. And my feet feel this way on the ground and my ass feels this way in the chair. And this is the temperature of the air on my skin. This is what my skin feels like, just getting present right now with no judgment. And that's the trick. You know, that's the game, because we're constantly judging and assessing. And, you know, that judgment's not going anywhere. You're not going to get to the point where you're not judgmental. There is none being non-judgmental. There's being aware of the judgments as judgments. And then not assessing the quality of the judgment, but just noticing, oh, I think this is a problem. Oh, look at that. There's a me that's distinct from the judgment. That's what opens up when you practice mindfulness, is that you become distinct from the judgment. Dan Harris is a great author, speaker, and really cool dude. Great podcast, great information, great guest, great guy. And, often talks about it as if, the metaphor is getting behind the waterfall. Have you ever had the experience of being behind a waterfall, where you're watching the water fall in front of you? You begin to watch the thoughts in front of you, but they're not you anymore. You're not your thoughts. There is someone that's available. There's a consciousness that's available that can watch all of that. And that's all a product of mindfulness.
Yes, I call that the buffer, because it feels like a spaciousness, a buffer between you, the observer, mm-hmm. and the thoughts.
Right.
And it creates that spaciousness to decide, do I want to believe those thoughts? Do I want to react to those thoughts? Or do I just want to let them move through me? And that buffer is really what allows us to move into that responsiveness, right? Rather than that reactionary state. So how do you bring in the mindfulness into the teachings of law of attraction?
Well, that, first of all, the thing about mindfulness that's so potent for me, and so I don't know, I'm probably a year, maybe two, out of the closet as a woo-woo person. Okay. So there's, you know, that, as a CEO, you know, as that world of business, we're not really allowed to be woo-woo. Okay. There's no frame in which there's a derogatory or context in being woo-woo. That's for the hippies and the freaks and like that, versus, you know, No, I'm actually, you know, aware of there's forces, there's a stream of consciousness, all that stuff. But there's also this world of mindfulness where the studies, the scientific studies since the 70s, there's a wealth of data, scientific data, brain science that shows practicing mindfulness on a daily basis literally grows the neuronal pathways in your prefrontal cortex. Your brain is growing new ways to be responsive, and it's thinning the amygdala. It's thinning the reactive part of yourself. So you are actually physically changing your brain to become more responsive and less reactive, which is an amazingly potent place to operate from in the world of business, is that you can become really responsive. And when you're talking about sales, you know, it's me sitting in front of another human being. Well, if I'm wrapped up being my thoughts, being my worries, you know, in real estate, we talk about commission breath. In any kind of sales position, there's that default. Am I going to close this? Is this going to happen? I need this. All the worries and the constraints that, and if I'm wrapped up around the axle of my own thoughts, I cannot possibly be present to what this human being here in front of me needs. And the practice of mindfulness will allow me to be there with them in what they're dealing with. Because where the sale is going to be made is not in what I say to them. It's going to be in what they say to themselves about what I said. And if I can speak to and listen for what are they saying to themselves, well, then I have a huge advantage compared to someone who's only hearing what they say about what they're thinking.
Which is really shifting the sales process, really turning it on its head, right? Because instead of like, I'm going to present to you what I have to offer, it really shifts it onto that of, I'm going to listen, right? I'm going to receive again. What is it that you really need? What are the fundamentals of your desires? But we can't really hear that and be present to that unless we're fully in that state of mindfulness and presence.
That's exactly right. You know, every coach that what you just said is about listening. That's every sales training in the world. Every sales training in the world talks about that, about listening to the client's needs. And that, but no one ever really talks about how to get there. There's no coaching in sales training that I've found that really has people deal with the how to do that. And mindfulness is the how.
Wow.
You know, you practice and, you know, there's, again, all kinds of misconceptions about meditation and mindfulness. I've been doing morning gratitude meditations, live mindfulness gratitude meditations on Facebook Live now for, I don't know, over a year. Every morning I do a little 10-minute meditation on Facebook Live for anyone who wants to join. And my financial advisor recently, a brilliant woman, very successful. I hired her because she's really good with money. And, you know, she made a comment to me. She said, I was watching you do that and I'm waiting for you to sell all your belongings and move to Tibet. And that's really one of the misconceptions I think about mindfulness meditation and like that, is that it's for that kind of person, that kind of like, I'm going to lose interest in the material.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose interest. No, that's not the way that works at all. This is a performance enhancer. This is a way of my getting in the zone for to use an athlete's jargon for it. It's for me to be here and available, right? Without being worried or stressed about what I need. My access is always and only in what do you need?
I love how you just put that, because it is the misconception. And, you know, at some point that's what it was, right? The majority of people that meditated were monks and, people who were really devoted to the spiritual life in that context, but that's not what it is anymore. And I think more and more, I mean, you know, athletes, as you just said, use this. Military uses this, uses breath work, you know, the CIA uses all of these modalities, because just as you said, it increases the human performance. This is how we become, quote unquote, superhuman.
Yeah.
And I think these conversations are so important to get rid of that stigma and release these beliefs that this means that you're going to give up the material life and you're going to lose your business and not be successful because you're just going to sit on the couch and meditate all day. And actually, like, no, you can bring these practices in and become better at whatever it is that you're doing and creating as your unique genius.
Yeah. You know, Tim Ferriss, you know who Tim Ferriss is? The guy who wrote the 4-Hour Work Week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he has another book that, and a now podcast. And again, super high performing dude. Wrote a book called Tools of Titans.
I have heard of that. Yes.
I forget what the subtitle is, but it's, you know, the habits and practices of the world's highest performers, world-class athletes and like that. And he interviewed hundreds of high-performing people, billionaires, high-performing athletes. And he discovered that 80%, the number one most common practice across the board, over 80% of the people he interviewed all had some sort of mindfulness practice.
That speaks for itself.
Right? Like, I can zig when they're zagging, or maybe, you know, and this world of, well, I don't have time to meditate, or I don't have time to do that. Well, maybe you don't have time to do that because you don't do it. You know, the old Buddhist saying was, everyone should meditate for 30 minutes a day unless you don't have time, and then you should do an hour. And that's the space of this, you know, and I have found, and the science backs this up. So this isn't just personal anecdotal evidence. This is literally MIT, Stanford, Harvard, major studies over the last 50 years have shown 10 minutes a day of quiet mindfulness meditation will transform quality of your life, period. 10 minutes a day. And if you're going to argue that you don't have 10 minutes a day, then we don't really have anything to talk about.
Yeah. I believe that you can make the time if that matters to you. You know, I mean, I have been a single mom of young boys and I just got up super early. You know, it's always been in my space for the last close to 20 years of my life. And it was just always a space that was created no matter what. There was never, has never been an excuse. And I think that's really important because the whole, in my opinion, that whole like debate of not having time is really just saying it's not important to you. You know, it's not something that's a preference. But, you know, again, what do you have to lose if you were to try this mindfulness for 10 minutes a day, you know, for a solid month? What would you, you know, you lose, you know?
You lose 10 minutes a day.
Yeah. That's it.
You know, and it's the kind of thing when in usually about 8 weeks is what it takes to see some sort of long, enough of a difference that people keep going 8 weeks of doing it. And, there was a thought that was there and now it's gone. I don't know. It'll come back. Anyway, yeah. You know, it's that. Commit, you go to the you know, in the, it's interesting to me, in the 60s, if you saw someone jogging, you would think, oh, they're being chased. Because there was no context for cardiovascular health being developed. It wasn't a thing, you know. And then in the 80s, if you saw someone lifting weights, you would think, oh, they want to look like Arnold, because that was pumping iron. That was the context for resistance training. There was no context for that. And now you have people jogging, you know, everyone does some sort of, it's very mainstream to do some sort of physical activity, cardiovascular, resistance training, all very mainstream now. It's, you know, flipped over, right? The adoption curve is flipped over, and very common to see single mothers spend, you know, an hour at the gym a couple times a week to develop that kind of capacity. And meditation is no different. There's not a container for it yet. We're building, you and I are both building a container for that, in which it flips over to the mainstream, but we're still now but someone has to do it, you know, and it will become adopted because it works. There's just no one's like, oh, well, running on a treadmill doesn't work. No, it works. It's reliable. We're not debating it anymore. Whether you do it or not, no one's debating the efficacy. And it's the same thing with mindfulness. As far as I'm concerned, mindful meditation is the exact same thing. It's you're working out your brain like a muscle. You just are. That's what you're doing.
So what would be the one tip that you could give somebody to implement mindfulness, law of attraction, either one or both, into sales specifically?
Well, if it's a question for you of doing it, then find the right teacher. You know, find someone who's going to train you appropriately to practice and practice in a way that makes a difference. You know, and there's a ton of information. Like I said, I do free mindfulness every morning on Facebook. I have a free mindfulness training that people can participate in, but Insight Timer is a free app and it's got a billion different teachers in there and programs and for free and then there's whatever modest monthly gets you a premium membership and people have more products on there. But find a teacher that's going to speak to you that, will give you the opportunity to develop that and then commit 8 weeks to it. Commit a decent amount of time to trying it out, and practicing and try it for yourself. My saying it or your saying it or someone else saying it doesn't matter until you personally discovered it for yourself, you know, let's just go back to being a parent. You don't want to wear a jacket? Okay, don't wear a jacket. You know, you will discover what being cold feels like and you will not do that. But I'm not going to argue with you about wearing a jacket. You're not going to wear mine if it gets cold. I'll tell you that.
I love that because that's how I parent too. But I don't feel like that's how everybody parents. And I think that's really this mindfulness way of parenting, you know, in the context of I will help you by guiding you. But if you choose not to receive my guidance, well, then there, you know, then you'll experience what that is. And that's a beautiful lesson. Sometimes there's more value in going through the experience and learning it. I don't really consider it the hard way, but learning it in that direct way.
Yeah, I think that's right. So my tip for people would be start, you know, just if it's, you know, I have one of the practices I give people in my trainings is, listening to the intuition, no matter how it comes. And, the more you listen to it, the more it becomes apparent. And it usually shows up the easiest, sort of the quickest or most normal way it shows up is when I leave the house, I'll have a thought like, it just happened yesterday. I was walking in the living room and I saw a piece of paper, we had a party and there was a little, bit of whatever streamer or something on the floor in the corner and it caught my eye. And I thought, oh, I should go pick that up. And I thought, no, let me just get the laundry done. And no, it caught my eye. I'm going to bend over and pick that up. Like that was intuition showing up when I leave the house. Do it. Oh, I don't need my headphones. Like that kind of thought, right? As I'm leaving the house, I don't need my headphones, but I have the thought. Get your headphones. And then I had to negate the thought. No, I had the thought, I'm going to go back and get my headphones. And more times than not, something opened up later where I needed whatever thing I was just going to blow off because I thought I don't have time to get it. No, the intuition came. So you're going to practice taking the actions that the intuition provides and noticing the negating of it and going, okay, well, I'm either going to honor this intuition or I'm going to negate it. And just practicing that, you know, is the same thing as this is a question that wants to be asked. You're in conversation with someone and there's something that shows up for you to say. You want to practice saying it. You want to just practice saying it.
Yeah. And I love the examples you're given because they're similar to what I give. And I think it's really important to also not need to have the validation afterwards, right? That that was somehow correct. Because one of the examples I gave is, one day I was told to like push the glass back. It was a glass and I was told to push back. This was many years ago and I didn't listen. And then what happened? Well, later it got knocked off and it broke. But if I would have pushed the glass back, nothing would have happened.
That's right.
And so it wouldn't have been this like, oh, my intuition was right, you know, because sometimes it is something that isn't readily seen, right, in our physical reality.
Or something you avoided happening that you don't notice. We don't notice the fights we don't have.
Yes.
Right? We don't notice the conflicts we don't have, but if we didn't do it, I mean, I wish I could remember, a lot of things, but, last year there were, it happens all the time in the middle of transactions as a real estate agent. You know, there are thoughts I have about calling a client, like they'll come to mind. That's another great way to practice this. You have a thought, I should call my brother or I should call my mother or I should call my son or whatever. Like you have a thought about calling someone and then we think we're too busy. No, practice honoring that thought. Just, hey, I don't know why I'm calling you, but I had the thought to call you. So I'm just calling you to say hi. You're just opening that channel. Right. Because you don't know what's going to happen. And you just take it all and you just keep opening yourself up to the intuition of it. What we call intuition, or you could call tapping into the universal consciousness or the way the world wants to provide for you. So for a salesperson, honoring all those things will develop, you know, a way of the universe providing you more of what you want.
I love how you said calling people, because imagine, you know, sometimes just that phone call, even if there was seemingly no reason, somebody hears your voice, you call them in the right moment, that could have really helped them. And just think about the times people are really, they're in pain, they're suffering, they're not going to necessarily, not everybody's going to go out and talk about it or reach help. Maybe you called them. They might not even tell you that they're in pain. Just said, hey, thinking about you, wanted to connect. And they walked away from that conversation feeling so much better, right? And so again, those intuitive hits are, they're not just for us, they're for everybody. And it really ultimately serves the higher good of all. Erin, how can people find you, reach out to you, connect to you?
Well, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, and it's just my name, Instagram. They could also tune into the Mindful CEO podcast. So that's available. And that's very, very consistent with, you know, you're going to be a guest there. So it's, we're sister stations. And that's probably the easiest way to get to me is through my website, erinhindon.com is probably the most direct way.
And then on your website, is there a link to those, mindfulness sessions that you do on Facebook?
They can go to the YouTube channel, the Mindful CEO podcast YouTube channel. It's there. Every day goes live there every day, or on Facebook, my personal Facebook page, it goes live there every day.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Such a delicious conversation. Thank you so much. And, you know, honestly, I want to honor you as having the courage to come out of the closet and bring these very important conversations to people who need them. So thank you for being you and thank you for having that courage.
Yeah, Laura, thank you. Thanks for doing the same work. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. To the audience, you know, if this is something that maybe you've tapped into, you know, there's always different ways to hear the same information. And sometimes we hear it from a different person or in a different way, and it lands differently for us. So I really recommend reaching out to Erin, listening to those mindfulness sessions, really connecting to him, listening to the way that he brings it through, and exploring any other, you know, intuitive hits that maybe you receive about ways that you can connect this with yourself so that you can bring these skills into your sales, bring these skills into your business and really reach that superhuman potential. As always, I'm so very grateful for you. And until next time, much love.
Thank you for being a part of Wealth Embodied. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your innate abundance and living your life wealthy and aligned. If you want to be invited to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.